welcome to the Risen Church Podcast, a collection of sermons from Risen Church in Santa Monica, California. Here at Risen, we believe the Bible, proclaim the gospel, and seek to better follow Christ. As a Jesus-centered church for the people of Los Angeles and ultimately the world, we aim to help people know Jesus, grow in faith, and go serve the world. If you're interested in more information, please visit us at risenchurch.com. And now for this week's message.
So as we teach this morning, this summer, our church is in a Summer of Psalms series. The church globally and internationally is still a bit in the season of Pentecost. And so this morning, I thought I would combine the Summer of Psalms and the season of Pentecost and teach out of a Pentecost psalm. Psalms is a book of songs that can be sung or prayed that cover everything from lament, like Scott spoke about a couple weeks ago, to confession, which Joe spoke about last week, to praise, which we'll talk about this morning. Specifically this morning, we'll be in Psalm 104. And Psalm 104 is just this sweeping meditation and celebration of God, not only as the creator of all things, but as the renewer of creation itself. And so this morning, as we look at this meditation of the psalmist, we're just going to pick out a couple of attributes of God that we find in the text. And so our outline is going to go like this, that God reigns, God restrains, God rewards, God renews, and God is to be revered. Again, God reigns, restrains, rewards, renews, and is to be revered. But let me start with this. You've probably been at a mixer at some point, a group of people in a room that are kind of getting to know each other. And oftentimes that room feels kind of very normal and everybody's on the same playing field, wearing the same kinds of things, talking the same kind of language. And then that person walks in the room and that person is dressed a little differently. They walk a little differently. They talk a little differently. And it becomes obvious this person owns the room. This is their room. Maybe it's a house. Maybe it's a school. Maybe it's a company, but they clearly own the space, not just with their presence, but you realize, oh, this place belongs to them. They are in charge. When we get to Psalm 104, something similar is happening here, except it's not a room. It is all of creation. It's the whole earth, and God is the well-dressed, walking, talking owner of it all. And so this is our first point, is that God reigns. This is verses 1-4. The psalmist is going to begin in this psalm not with the creation, but with the creator. High above all. You're going to notice he's clothed in light, commanding with his word even the wind and flames. It's a panoramic vision of God's unmatched ownership, rule, and reign. Beginning in verse 1, bless the Lord, O my soul. O Lord, my God, you are very great. Watch this. You are clothed with splendor. You're clothed with majesty, covering yourself with light as with a garment, even using your hands and stretching out the heavens like you're setting up a tent. He lays the beams of his chambers on the waters. He makes the clouds his chariot. He rides upon them. He rides on the wings of the wind. He makes his messengers winds, his ministers a flaming fire. Notice what's happening at the very beginning of this psalm. God is clothed in splendor, majesty, and light. He's rolling out and expanding the earth like a tent. He's talking and sending out his word like wind and like fire. If you just take a moment to notice this, this is an impressive scene. In other words, the psalmist makes it clear that the sight of God demands acknowledgement that he is the owner of this space. Martin Luther says it this way: God rides upon the wind, not because he needs transport, but to show us that all of the powers of nature serve him. He reigns. He reigns through means, but is bound by none of them. And so I would encourage you this week, as you read Scripture, and as you pray, and as you worship God, you may want to start with Scriptures that set your imagination on the grandeur of God first, on the greatness of God first. So as you gather alone in your prayer closet or as a family around the dinner table, you may make one of your prayers this week: Lord, help us to see you like this. That's point number one. God reigns. This is point number two. God restrains. After proclaiming God's reign in the heavens, the psalmist turns now to the earth. And he zooms in on how God actually restrains creation. Not just creating its beauty, but restraining and containing its boundaries. It says he set the earth on its foundation so that it should never be moved. And you covered it with the deep as with a garment. The waters stood above the mountains. But then at your rebuke, the waters fled. At the sound of your thunder, the waters took flight. The mountains rose back up. The valleys sank down to the place that you appointed for them. Watch this, verse 9. You set a boundary that they may not pass, so they might not again cover the earth. Notice what's happening. God is ordering creation. He's confining it. He's raising the mountains up. He's creating containers for the waters, and he's establishing boundaries that creation may continue to exist the way it was designed to. God here is restraining the cosmos with his very word. You know, things contained, things constrained, things with boundaries are good. Water in a cup is a good thing. Water all over your kitchen table is not. A fire in a fireplace is a good thing. A fire on the living room carpet is not. In other words, creation is not chaotic and it's not random. It's structured. It's set with boundaries. It's set with containers. It's under authority from God's word, and he is the one that sets all of this in place. Basil the Great, one of the early church fathers, when reflecting on this passage of Scripture, says, when he, speaking of God, when he said, "Let the waters be gathered together," it was the command of a sovereign. It was the command of one in charge. The waters fled and separated at his voice, restrained not by barriers, but restrained by God's word. God is a good creator. And central to his creation is restraining creation, setting up containers and setting up boundaries. And church, he's done the same for us. Called us to restraint. Called us to boundaries. When we enter into marriage, it's important that we protect the boundaries of intimacy in a marriage. When God provides us with finances, it's important that we protect the boundaries of finances by spending within our means, giving generously and saving appropriately. When we're granted the gift of a job, whether that's in the workplace or in the home, it's important to honor work-life boundaries. For some of us, boundaries are a struggle. We want to be limitless, unconstrained, living as we want to. But there's great goodness in boundaries. There's great joy to be found in boundaries. So as you gather again in your prayer closet or with your family, you may make it a petition to the Lord, Lord, would you teach me to take great joy in the boundaries that you set for me? When you go to the beach and you sit by the ocean, you may thank God for the boundary between land and sea, that we are not consumed by the sea, and that the land doesn't consume the sea, that we can watch those beautiful Santa Monica sunrises down on the ocean. But that's point number two the psalmist is making, is that God restrains. This is point number three, is that God actually rewards his creation. After highlighting the reign of God and the restraining aspect of God, the psalmist meditates on how God fills the world with provision. God doesn't just create life, he provides for life. From wild animals to working people, everything is fed and satisfied by God's generous hand. This is verses 10 through 23. Watch this. God, you make springs gush forth in the valleys. They flow between the hills. Those waters give drink to every beast of the field. The wild donkeys quench their thirst. Beside them, the birds of the heavens find shelter and they dwell. They sing among the branches in the nests that they've made. From your lofty abode, you water even the mountains. The earth is satisfied with the fruit of your work, God. You cause the grass to grow for the livestock and plants, for man to cultivate, that he may bring forth food from the earth. Wine to gladden the heart of man, and all those who drink wine said, Amen. Oil to make his face shine, and bread to strengthen man's heart. The trees of the Lord are watered abundantly, the cedars of Lebanon that God planted. In them the birds build their nests, the stork has her home in the fir trees. The high mountains are for wild goats, and the rocks below are a refuge for rock badgers. Let me know after service if you know what a rock badger is. Verse 19, he made the moon to mark the seasons, the sun to know its time for setting, so that when the sun sets, you make darkness, and all the beasts of the forest, they creep about. It's at this time the young lions roar for their prey, seeking their food from God. And then the sun rises again, and those animals steal away and lie down in their dens. And then man goes out to his work and to his labor until the sun sets again. Notice what's happening here. It's God that provides the water. It's God that provides the food. It's God that provides time for us. God is rewarding and providing creation with sustenance, with provision, with good things.
We hope you're enjoying this week's message. We believe that following Jesus is best done connected to the local church. If you're in the Los Angeles area and looking for a church, or know someone who is, we'd love to invite you out to worship with us at 10 a.m. Sunday mornings. Join a community group that meets throughout the week, or serve with us in the church and in the city. You can find all the details at risenchurch.com. We would be thrilled to connect with you. Now, back to this week's message.
Two examples of how this might play out. You might imagine yourself coming home from college. When you come home to an empty kitchen. No food. No signs of life, no sandwich made for you, No one's been there, no one expected you, and no one has prepared for you to be there. You got to run to Ralph's instead. Scenario number two, you walk into this kitchen, and the shelves are stocked. The fridge is full, and there's a sandwich with your name on it. You don't think this stuff appeared randomly. You think, someone was here. Someone was expecting me, and someone prepared this place for me. In other words, that's what creation is like. God has already been here. He has been expecting us, and he has prepared a place of provision and reward for us. John Chrysostom, one of the earliest church fathers, said it this way. Do you see the care God has for us? He provides not only for kings, but also for donkeys and birds. He prepares the world like a house, fully stocked for all of its inhabitants. And this is a challenge for us, church. We're oftentimes more aware of what we are lacking and what we want than what we have been provided with. It's why when we pray around the table, we don't pray out of a place of lack. We pray out of a place of, God, thank you that you provided this meal and this sustenance for us. It's why when we give, we don't give out of lack. We give out of a sense of, God, thank you that you provided for my family. I'm going to worship you through generosity. And so again, this week, as you pray in your prayer closet or you pray as a family around the breakfast table, you might want to make it one of your prayers. Lord, thank you for providing for me everything that I need for life and godliness. That's point number three, God rewards. This is point number four, God renews. After highlighting the reign of God, the restraint of God, the rewards of God, the psalmist now turns to how God constantly renews creation itself. The meditation bursts out with, oh Lord, how manifold are all of your works. In wisdom have you made them all. The earth is full of your creatures. Here is the sea, great and wide, which teems with creatures innumerable, living things, both small and great. There go the ships and the Loch Ness Monster, which you formed to play in it. These ships, Leviathan, they all look to you to give them their food in due season. When you give it to them, they gather it up. When you open your hand, they are filled with good things. And Lord, when you hide your face, they're dismayed. When you take away their breath, they die and return to their dust. When you send forth your spirit, they are created. And watch this. And you renew the face of the ground. Notice that God is not a set it and forget it kind of a God. He is a create it and renew it over and over and over again. Open his hand over and over and over again. Provide over and over and over again. We do this in our own worlds. In a refrigerator, the shelves must be regularly renewed. In a field, seed must regularly be scattered and planted. In a closet, clothes must regularly be washed. We find ourselves kind of renewing our own world regularly. It's because that's what God does. God is a renewing God when he sends forth his spirit. Again, one of the church fathers, Athanasius of Alexandria, reflecting on this passage, says, the word of God has not abandoned the world that he made, but by his power and by his spirit, he renews all things. By his word, he holds creation together. Church, you can take comfort that God will renew you day after day after day. And for some of us, we are in a challenging season. But take heart. If you're mourning, God will renew you. If you're grieving, God will renew you. If you feel stuck or in a hard place, God will renew you. If your health is in a tricky spot, God will renew you. And so one of your prayers this week, maybe, Lord, send your spirit. Renew me. That's the fourth point the psalmist makes, is that God renews. And this is the fifth and final point. After all this, God is to be revered. After describing God's reign, his restraint, his rewards, and his renewal, the psalmist ends where all of this leads. It is to the reverence of God. He celebrates God's glory. He trembles at his power. And he resolves to praise him as long as he lives. This is verse 31. May the glory of the Lord endure forever. May the Lord rejoice in his works, who looks on the earth and the earth trembles, who when God touches the mountains, they begin to smoke. I will sing to the Lord as long as I live. I will sing praise to my God while I have being. May my meditation be pleasing to him, for I rejoice in the Lord. Verse 35, what a way to end this. Let sinners be consumed from the earth, and let the wicked be no more. Bless the Lord, O my soul, praise the Lord. Notice what's happening here. A reflection on the reign of God, on the provision of God, on the renewal of God, causes the psalmist to delight in God, to tremble in his presence, and to desire the repentance of those that don't share in the worship of God. In other words, reflection on God should always bring great comfort, but also great trembling to us. Reflection on God should always bring great friendship between us and God, but also great fear of God. John Calvin, when he reflects on this, John Calvin says it this way: the psalmist does not conclude with doctrine, but with devotion. Right knowledge of God leads to reverence, leads to joy, and it leads to a longing that wickedness be removed from the earth. Church, take great comfort this morning that if you're here and you want to know God, he can be known. He can be found. But also, church, take great heed of this and warning of this. If you harden your heart towards God, the reigning, restraining, rewarding, renewing God, destruction is in your future. And this is where the gospel comes into play. If we are honest, the truth is we are all sinners. We are all deserving of being completely consumed and obliterated by the righteousness and justice of God. But God sent his son, Jesus, who became sin for us, though he never sinned, dying on a cross, being buried and raised from the dead, that his righteousness might be counted as ours, and that we can be counted not amongst those that are wicked and consumed, but we can be counted amongst those that worship and meditate on the goodness of God, being friends with God. So maybe one of your prayers this week is simply, Lord, may the meditations of my heart be pleasing to you. God is to be revered. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this sweeping meditation on you as creator, sustainer, and renewer of the cosmos. And so, Lord, we just ask you, would you help us to acknowledge you as the sovereign, that you reign supreme over the earth? Would you help us, Lord, to take joy in the boundaries and restraints that you've invited us into? Would you help us every single day to be thankful for your rewards and your provisions towards us? Lord, would you daily renew us? And as we reflect on you, God, would you lead us into deep worship, devotion, and reverence for you? It's in the name of Jesus that we pray. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this week's message. We hope you've been deeply encouraged by it. Each week, we're able to produce this podcast because of the faithful giving of our congregation and others who support us. If you'd like to help us continue to create similar content, you can give at risenchurch.com. And if you're in the Los Angeles area looking to connect with the church, we'd love to have you join us. Hope to meet you soon.